And he forgot to turn it off, and I was listening to his singing. So that's why with these gadgets I'm careful. Did it come loose? Okay.
You almost had it.
Okay. We'll get it right by next week anyway. Certainly glad to have each one of you, and certainly glad to have you present. While we study the Word of God together, there's a number of things that we need to think about, and I'll just give this to you to run off about 50 of these to illustrate the point and pass them out tonight. A friend of mine over in Smyrna, Tennessee, that worked at Nissan plant, he asked a lot of questions. He said, "Why are there so many denominations?" And the old boy said, "That's easy." He said, "Everybody's going to do what they want to do, the way they want to do it, when they want to do it." And we began to think about that. That's exactly what it's all about. When I first started preaching, they said there were 3,000 denominations. Now man would not even try to estimate how many different denominations there are. And you wonder, how did all this happen? If our Father made this world and gave us this book, and we're all following this book. Well, it starts out with the fact that people begin to say, "Well, I'm not sure that the things that are necessarily inferred in the Bible, we need to do that." And then from that, they begin to say, "Well, I'm not sure that the examples of those people are applied to us. And I'm not sure that really the commandments are to us." And finally, Churches of Christ, one down the street from Hillview, about a quarter of a mile away, they had a preacher come in and hold a meeting, and he said that the Bible was not written to us. The book of Ephesus was written to the church at Ephesus. That 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth. Now you see where we're going? What we're beginning to say is the fact the Bible really doesn't apply to us. That's where we finally reach out. And that's why many churches don't study the Bible anymore. They talk about civil events, political events, and they don't study the Bible anymore. And I've just made a habit everywhere I go. We was at Vanderbilt this morning, and I asked a fellow sitting across, I said, "Do you read your Bible?" He said, "Oh, yes." I asked a fellow down the seat, I said, "Do you read your Bible?" He said, "Yes." But there are very few people reading their Bibles. And many members of the church don't read their Bibles. And so what I'd like to do tonight is emphasize that you read God's Word. Now this little handout, you can just put it away. It's an illustration I got out of the newspaper a long time ago. But it's how that people are appealing today to individuals to be religious, or rather to attend a church service. And that's what it's all about, and you can look at that later. But if we look at the Bible, we're going to learn a number of things. Deuteronomy 4 in verse 2, Moses said, "You shall not add on the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments, Lord your God, which I command you." Now Moses said, "When I speak, I'm not speaking of myself. I'm giving you the commandments of Almighty God, and you learn to respect it and don't alter it. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away. This is what God has to say to you." No boy at St. Thomas, I asked him, I said, "Do you read your Bible?" He said, "Don't worry about me." He said, "I still pray. I said, what kind of deal is this that you talk to God and you won't let God talk to you? And he jumped back. And that's right. Why will we pray to God and talk to him if we won't let him talk to us? And we need to respect the word of God. In Proverbs 3, in verse 5, he said, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. See, you've got a choice. Either trust God or trust yourself. This is what I think about religion. This is what I think. Who are you trusting? Trust in the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your steps. It's the word of God. Trust God. Don't trust yourself. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That when we reason, it seems okay. And we like what we've come up with, but the end of it is death. Separation from God. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. In Colossians 3 and verse 16 again, we're reminded, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In the New Testament, we notice sing. In the Old Testament, we notice play. We notice the instruments they played. They were instructed who were to play them and what sound they were to make on certain occasions. None of that's given in the New Testament. It's seen. And this is what we need to understand. In verse 17, he said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, you better find authority for anything that you're going to do. And not begin to reason your mind that you think it's okay. It's God's word. You are to follow God's word and not man. We notice the same warning, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Notice what John says for Jesus. For verily unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. The warning in the Old Testament, again in the New Testament. Don't add to it. Now, some people try to get around, well, he's just talking about the book of Revelation. No, you don't add it to anything that God has to say. You leave it as it is. Now notice the next verse, if you will. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Friends, God is God and we're men. Isaiah 53, 8 and 9 again. Notice what he has to say. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, whatever you think about religion, it's way down very, very low. It cannot be compared with what God has to say about how we worship him and how we live. The difference between heaven and earth. It's a different ball game, if you want to put it that way. You can't do anything about it. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 again, he says, Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's our problem. Man has decided that he knows how to make the church grow. He thinks he knows how to fill a building. And so he begins doing this and that and the other. And that's the condition that we're in today. And that's the condition of the little comic strip that they passed out a few minutes ago. You don't have a gymnasium. You don't have a fellowship hall. What kind of church is this? That's the way the world feels about us. When Ron Holbrook was at Broadmoor there in Nashville and they were building the building, they talked to the plumber and they talked to the coach people in Metro and said, now, we're not going to have a kitchen. And the coach man said, that's what every Church of Christ says, but after a while they have one. Where did they get that idea of the kitchen? See, if we respect the Word of God and the Word of God alone, that's it. But in Revelation 14 and verse 13, he said, Revelation 22 and verse 14, he said, blessed are they that do his commandments. You mean Jesus had commandments? Many of the people read the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and they decide it's by grace and mercy, and commandments has no part. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. Talking about heaven. If you want to go to heaven, God's mercy and grace is out there for everybody. It's only extended to you when you obey him. And we need to understand that. The book of Romans begins with the idea of obedience. It ends with obedience. We must obey God's word. Now this thing has been going on for a long time. And we turn over in the book of Kings and begin to notice some things going on that ought not to be going on concerning God's people. In the meantime, as we look at it, we think about what's really going on and what really is taking place, that Solomon is about to leave this old world. And God has made mention of him and what he's done and what he should have done and what he should not have done, and he didn't pay very much attention. So in the meantime, God decides that he'd let Rehoboam be the next king. And Rehoboam had no heir to the throne whatsoever. It was a gift from God that God gave him what he had. Now when you begin to think about it, Solomon ran Rehoboam out of the country. He went down into Egypt. But the prophet, before he went down, called him aside and told him, said, look, he ripped a garment into 12 pieces. He gave old Rehoboam, or rather Jeroboam, I'll get it straight in a minute, 10 pieces. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he gave him 10 pieces of that garment. And he said, God's going to give you the rule over 10 tribes. God gave him the rule over 10 tribes. But God said, you're going to have to walk in all my commandments. But before he did, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was to be the next king. It came to him through his dad and through his granddad. He was to be the next king in Israel. Well, They came to him, he talked to the old people, and they said, look, if you're going to rule these people, you need to decrease the taxes. Have you ever lived anywhere where they decrease the taxes? If you do, tell me where it is. And he didn't listen to them. He listened to the young men, that next generation. See? That's what we're dealing with, the next generation. They said, no, said, you make it hard on them. Your daddy made it. You made it harder than your daddy made it. And so they called in Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And he became head over Israel. All Rehoboam had was what was left, Judah and the rest. Now think about it. What's going to happen? Well, Rehoboam didn't think about, this is the grace of God to me, that God has given me something, and that God has required something of me. He forgot that. He began to think in his mind that these people are going to go back to Jerusalem and worship God, and if they do, their heart's going to be returned to Rehoboam, and they're going to kill me. What do we always think about? A teacher down in Hickman County the other day said that when she first started teaching, an elderly woman said, when I've got a problem, I just stop and think in school, am I the problem? Am I the problem? Yes, Rehoboam becomes the problem. Or Jeroboam becomes the problem. What he does, he said, I'm going to make two golden calves, put one up north in Dan, and put one in Bethel, which is close to Jerusalem, where they should have been going. And he said to them, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. What? Now, how could anybody believe that? If you go back to the book of Judges, you can see how they didn't believe that. They would follow God for a little while, and then they'd turn away from Him, and God raised up a little king. They'd cry out again, and they'd return to God, and then they'd forget God again. Over 490 years, they went through that. He said, now these are your gods. Those gods couldn't talk, they couldn't walk, they couldn't hear. They were handmade. When you stop to think about all this, if you've ever lived in the Catholic country, you begin to appreciate all of this. And the thing that you appreciate about it is the fact we noticed yesterday that when the Jews with politics crucified Jesus, then a few years later, these people who claim to be Christians and politics built a Roman Catholic church. Roman tells you where it came from. Catholic means universal. And it's a blending of politics and religion together. And they have iconoclasts spread throughout the state of Pennsylvania. One old boy said he was dating a Catholic girl, and he said, we'd be driving down the road and there'd be an image, and she'd shake her hand loose and cross herself. Where do all these divisions come from? If you'd stop and read your Bible, you'd understand. Man's never satisfied very long to do exactly what God has commanded to be done. So he said, now here, you've got gods you can look at. The God we serve, he only let Moses see his backside. And he didn't let Moses explain what he saw. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk, what? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We walk by the Word of God. What does God say? Well, not only did he do that, he said, well, we're going to need some more changes. He made priests of the commonest of the people. Just anybody. Didn't matter. Anybody could be a priest. And the Levites went back to Jerusalem. The ones that God authorized to be priest. Well, can you think about what's going on in our world? When you read 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he talks about preaching the word, do the work of the minister, do the work of the evangelist. A preacher is a preacher who proclaims God's word. He is a minister. He's an evangelist. But what do they call him? A pastor. Well, if you read your Bible, a pastor is an elder in the Lord's church. He might be a preacher and might be an elder, but he's a pastor because he's an elder. Well, look at another group of religious people. Young men come around, knock on your door, and they tell you they're elders. They're not married, they don't have any children. And they use the word, where did that come from? It didn't come from the Bible. And he began to think that Jeroboam and Rehoboam had been played all over again. And not only that, he said, well, I'd better make some more changes about this ordeal. Rather than the 7th month and the 15th day, let's make it the 8th month and the 15th day. And the Bible says this is what he devised in his mind or in his heart. Where did this come? This came from Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He changed what God had commanded. So we ought not be surprised that people today are changing everything round about us. That's just the way that things are going. And it's going to be that way for a long time. And it's not only that, it's what we call, it was a convenient religion. Old Jeroboam said, now you don't have to go all the way down to Jerusalem. Those of you who live in the north, you can go to Dan. It's too much for you. You know, it's amazing there's too much to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached and then ready to depart on the morrow. But I was in a denominational building the other day, and it said, be here Friday night, we're going to have communion. Where do you get Friday night communion? It didn't come from the Bible. It's convenient. And some of them just have it quarterly. Where'd you get quarterly? Well, they come back and they say, well, it didn't say every Lord's Day. Neither did God when through Moses gave the Ten Commandments, did he say, remember the Sabbath day. He didn't say remember every Sabbath day. People who respect God's word, respect the Bible as God's word, are willing to take the necessary emphasis found in it, the examples found in it, and the commands, and afraid to do anything else other than that. It ought to frighten us to think that we might change what God has said. Over in Leviticus chapter 10, if you want to turn over there and look, something that tells us how we ought to respect God and respect what God has to say. There were two priests, Nadab and Abihu. They were the sons of Aaron. I want you to know what happened. They took either of them and his censer and put therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord. What's strange about it? Which he commanded them not. Friends, any religion, any practice in religion that's not found in the book is a strange religion. Because God didn't command it. Now you look at the next verse. As we read on down. And there went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They were the right people. They were the sons of Aaron. They were priests. They were going to burn incense. They were the right place, doing the right thing, except they used fire that God hadn't commanded. You think God means what He says? You think God says what He means? Oh, what a lesson for us to learn. If we just but keep up with that and think about God and what God has commanded today for us. And know that all of this is of the Lord. What did the Lord say? And we need to go from there and hold on to exactly what God has said. Well, we come to the New Testament. And we can go over to Acts, the 5th chapter, and just notice another case of a situation that seems to be just pretty good, really. You'd want to just pat them on the back. You read in the end of chapter 4, and beginning about verse 34, neither was there any among them that lied. For as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down to the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And we begin to notice what happened. Verse 37. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Boy, that seems to be good, doesn't it? Well, you know, I'd like to try that. I'd like to just see how that feels. But you know, why have we got to give it all? Why can't we just sell our land and hold back a part of it? Nobody will ever know anything about it. Our neighbors won't know anything about it. And we'll just step out like we've done what God has allowed these people to do and what God has approved that they have done. Let's go to chapter 5 now. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it down the apostles' feet. Oh, look at Ananias. He sold what he got, what he has. And he's brought this money here and he's given it to the apostles. And you pat him on the back. But he didn't know that the God in heaven knew what he sold it for and what he did with the other part. And Peter let him know that God knew and that he knew. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Why? Do you know every time you do evil, you cover it with a lie? You cover it with a lie. You don't ask a child what he's done. You ask him why he's done it. In teaching school, I would sit and watch a kid do something and then frown at him. He said, I haven't done anything. Nobody accused him of anything. I just saw him do it. And so this is the situation here. Why, Peter, Peter's saying, telling us, why have you lied about what you've done? Well, let's read again and notice what happened. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? There's a difference between what is yours and what you give to God. These people in institutional groups are saying, well, where do you read in the Bible about the Lord's money? And they say, well, there are a lot of things we do in the Church of Christ we don't have authority for, like the church building. That's not so. We're commanded upon the first of the week to assemble. That necessitates a place. Whether it's rented, borrowed, or whether we build a place. It's an aid to carry out the command. It's not an addition. The songbook. You don't have authority for song, have authority to sing. Songbook is just putting together the songs that we're singing. Not adding anything to the worship service. As Robert Jackson often said, have you ever seen anybody songbooking? You see people playing on this, but you never see anybody songbooking. We're still just singing. That's all we're doing. Now, while it was yours, was it not your own? What is that telling us? That when we give it to the Lord, it's no longer ours. It belongs to the Lord. And a fearsome and awesome responsibility that we as elders have. To be sure that the money that the members give, we use it the way that God intended it to be used. It's scary, I'll tell you, it's scary. And especially when my son-in-law and I are the only two elders. And that doesn't sound good, does it? It's a scary obligation because God has spoken. It belongs to God. It's been given to God. It's to be used for the purpose that God gave it, intended for us to give it for. Listen again. Was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but to God. Oh, don't fool yourself. God knows what you're doing. Maybe Steve or nobody else knows what's going on, but God knows what's going on. Notice that. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Of course, he died. And look down in verse 7, if you will. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Said so much. And verse 9 is the one that gets me. How is it that ye have agreed together? I sometimes understand a man may be leaving the church. I try to understand a woman sometime leaving the church. But a man and a wife sit down as Christians. How in the world can they both agree to turn their back upon God? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it or explain it to anybody. How is it you agree? Somebody should stand up. Have some courage and have some conviction and say, I'm not going to do it. But in the midst of all of this, there's the case that we have of people deciding, well, it won't make any difference, but it did make a difference. It cost them their life. And friends, I'm pleading with you tonight, don't let it cost you your soul. because you do what God has not commanded. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 10, and let us read again. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, brethren, give you a little more time to turn over there. Romans 10 and verse 1. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul, are you saying that they're lost? Absolutely. Well, do they have any good traits? Yes. Far better than record, they have a zeal of God. They're zealous. You know, some people think, well, if a person's honest, if a person's zealous, that's all it takes. No, these people, Jewish brethren of Paul's, Jewish friends, he said they're lost. He said, but I'll give them credit, they have a zeal for God, but what's wrong? If they have a zeal for God and they're lost, but not according to knowledge. Not according to the Word of God. They're not following the Word of God. So they're lost. Now watch verse 2. As we read verse 3. For they, watch what he said. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. God has a righteousness. How are we going to find God's righteousness? It's in this book right here. That's God's righteousness. God's right way of doing everything. But too many people are not content. Fellow the other day, young man where I used to preach, let him know that he's become an atheist. The lady who told me was shocked. I said, I'm not. I'm not. His mother became a child of God. His daddy was a child of God and became as evil as a snake. And finally was restored. Taught class and memory work and everything. But they let their kids be friends of their mothers, nieces, and nephews. And their children have become like, he hasn't been the man to stand up and say, my children can't associate with those people. The first one had a child out of wedlock. The second one finally left the church, and now the third one's gone. Chief of police told me a number of years ago, Chief of Police in Dixon, he said, Joel, when you let your kids have friends, he said, if you'll tell me what kind of friends they have, I'll tell you what they'll be in 5 years. And that's exactly what's happened to these three kids. These three kids, their mother and their daddy, said they're moving to Baltimore. God told them to go to Baltimore. They were in Baltimore about 3 years, and then all of a sudden, their daddy left their mother for another man. And this, Bob said, I wonder if God told him to do that. Friends, it makes you want to cry. Parents, know who your children are friends with. Amen. Know who they're running with, who they're hanging out with, what they're reading, and where they're going. If you don't, you're going to cry yourself to your death. I've cried with all the people I want to cry with. I'm still willing to cry again, but I don't want to. Because people doing what they want to do rather than doing what God would have us to do and to stand up for what's right. One of the great thrills in being here last night, I quoted Psalms 23. And somebody straightened up and listened, a little 5-year-old boy. And when I got through, he said he did it right. That's what we better do. Better be teaching the Word of God to our children. This came from heaven. This came from our God. And we better know more about it. And we better respect it and stand in awe of it. Because it's God speaking to us. And that's what denominations have lost. Oh, it wasn't written to us. Boy, does that not open the field? It was written to another generation. It wasn't written to us. I can answer that for you if you want me to. Jeremiah 31:31, Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, which they broke." Here people hundreds of years later have broken the commandments that were given to their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. It was still binding to them. It wasn't written to them. Moses didn't give it to them, but it was given to them for them. Friends, this may not be written to us, but it's written to them for us. And we better pay attention to it. Paul said, "Preach the gospel. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Friends, one thing this week, if I can get you to have a greater respect for the Word of God, for the Bible, then you'll know more about it. Someone was telling me, said, old boy said, "I know where my Bible is." Said the leg's broken off the bed, and said, "I've got the bed propped up by the Bible." And that's what it is to a lot of people. What are you using the Bible for? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe it with all your heart? Now tomorrow night we're going to study a lesson. If you believe in Jesus, you got to believe what He has to say. Can't believe in Jesus, push aside what He says. Are you willing to repent of your sins? It's going to be painful. It's going to be painful to stop those things that you know that God doesn't want you to do. It hurts. Are you willing to stand up clear and loud and say, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God"? Are you willing then to be buried in the watery grave of baptism? To be raised up a new creature with forgiveness of sins, new relationship with God, to be a brother or sister to all the people that are children of God upon this earth. Don't forget it. Why do we have denominations? People are going to do what they want to do. Going to do it the way they want to do it. And going to do it when they get ready. Friends, don't do that. Turn to God and ask for help. Let us help you tonight if you've become unfaithful. If you're having trials and troubles, tell it to the brethren. Let them pray with you and pray for you. Will you come while together we stand to sing?